Galatians chapter number 2. Familiar scripture. I have mentioned it many times in preaching, and other preachers have mentioned it many, many times. I have, in years gone by, tried to preach this, and one time I was in Pennsylvania preaching and somehow run across this in a message. I mentioned it many times in a message, but I had a preacher out of Ohio to call me, and on that Sunday morning asked me, what was that again? On that Galatians 2:20, and God just somehow sealed it to his heart. I pray he seal it to all of our hearts tonight that we may get what he's saying here. I don't expect to preach the fullness of it. There's always something new. There's always something you find. The Word of God is always fresh and precious in its own way to your own heart at that time. Brother Roland, you want to say something, sir? They don't know any arrangement. She just passed away this morning. They got word. Their daughter got a message, text message, and got it after her. Talked to them out right after church and found out that she had passed away this morning. And so then arrangements, we'll try to let deacons know, try to let you know. But before you leave tonight, I know maybe during the day, I don't know what arrangement's going to be made or anything, but let Brother Roland know tonight that you love him and appreciate him. He and his wife are precious folk, and they have said to me many times that we're not able physically to do much, but we pray for you. And I want you to know tonight that's precious to me. They're praying as important as anything anybody could do, and I thank God for that. They're precious folk that love God. They pray for not only the preacher, they pray for the church. They pray for you, and I appreciate them so very, very much. Let them know tonight that you care and have compassion for them. As a family of God was sung recently here, we share each other's burdens and try to help each other along the way. All right, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I was talking about that verse. I stand, please, while we read. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But thank God he's not dead in vain. Righteousness does not come by the law. Law's our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. I am thankful for the truth of the Word of God and thank God for the law. It was given. Nothing wrong with the law. Law was right and its demands, but it showed me how wrong I was that I might be saved and come to know Jesus. But in that verse number 20, I am, and I want you to get that, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have be in the house of God. Tonight, how wonderful it's been just to hear the songs of Zion, to worship and adore you, to praise your name, give you thanks. And we surely do tonight praise your name and give you thanks. I thank you tonight, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. I do pray in Jesus' name that you'd help Brother Roland, his family. I pray you draw them close unto yourself, and that comfort that only you can give will be precious to them. I'd ask you tonight to help those that are sick, some nearing the crossing. I pray you'd help them. I pray tonight you'd help all of our people. And Father, as we think about being crucified with Christ, I pray you'd help us and the truth be prevailed in preaching and our understanding. And I ask tonight for that divine touch of God. We'll give you praise and glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Crucified, what does it mean? Young Christian asked an older Christian one day, what does being crucified with Christ, what does it mean? The older Christian thought, for a few minutes and then gave him three things that he thought that it meant. And I want to try tonight to use those three things and just mention them to you and try to expound just a little bit on it. And I know that you've heard, we've all heard, we've read, we've thought about this, but I recently was asked, it triggered my thoughts about it, asked about the flesh and the struggle that we have in the flesh, and it made me think about this message, and I began to ponder on it and thinking about, and if you're honest with me tonight, if you're saved, there's a battle that rages in your life, and flesh and spirit. And one's contrary to the other. And the flesh is still flesh. But that's born of God is of God on the inside. And you and I need to understand this thing about, and I'm not saying I fully understand all there is to understand about it, but about I'm crucified with Christ. What does it mean? Let me say, first of all, there's an imputed death. When I say this, this is an introduction. Imputed death is the fact that he was made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For Christ was made, he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If he was made sin for us, what's the penalty for sin? Death. And wages of sin, Romans 6:23, wages of sin is death. And so he paid the death penalty. My sin was imputed to him. My death penalty was imputed to him. And so in that sense, I died in him. I am crucified with him. I was crucified in him. And we could surely say the imputed part is true and say amen to that. I'm thankful for that truth, because he did that for me. He identified with me as me and took my place. I say praise God and the Lamb forever. I remember listening to radio and Brother Oliver Green was preaching, and I about stopped the car before he got through because I'm about to have a fit. And joy in my heart, what he's talking about was, he said, he's talking about this thing of the death penalty being paid. He said, what if a man had the death penalty passed upon him, and then he was in prison, and then they tried him and convicted him and found him guilty. And then they took him, and however they would execute him, and he'd been executed and had died. That death certificate had been signed by a doctor, and he pronounced dead, and they had buried him. And then later on down the road somewhere, somebody saw that man on the road and stopped and said, you killed a man one day. You were sentenced to death. You're guilty. He said, but I did die. I am dead. And that would be true. And about that time, I about lost it, because that's exactly what Jesus did for me. I have died in Christ. I am dead, and I am crucified with, that's imputed death. I am imputed dead in Christ. I say hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that I have passed from death unto life. And if I'd already paid for the crime, it's already been paid in full. You can't be tried the second time for the same crime after it's already been penalty paid and it's completed. A man that was sentenced to death and died, how in the world are you going to try him again for that same crime? You can't do that. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm resurrected in Jesus Christ. Died in him, raised in him, alive forevermore. And I say tonight, praise God, that's better than the Super Bowl. Amen. That's better than anything that you'll ever get. And knowing the fact it's imputed death, I praise God for that. Look with me in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1. We'll start reading there. Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's what Brother Roland was saying a while ago about his sister one day. Knowing this, that our old man, get this, our old man is crucified with Christ, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. died with Christ. And then there's a practical part of this thing that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31, the last part of that verse, he said, I die daily. Now, I died with Christ, in Christ, on the cross of Calvary. That's an imputed death. That death penalty has been paid. I'll never have to be judged for that again. That's over and over with. I praise God for that. But every day of my life, I still have this flesh that I was born with, and I came from my mother's womb with. It's still with me. And when I got saved, it wasn't eradicated. It wasn't taken away. It's still there. I still have to deal with that. And Paul said, not only am I crucified with Christ, but I die daily. And dying daily. And that's something to think about. You say, preacher, how can we die daily? Dying out to self, to flesh, to the world, and all that comes with that. Now, three things I want to say tonight, and I pray that God will help us. This older Christian looked at the young Christian. He said, I don't know what it all means, but I do know this. If a man is crucified, he's only facing one way. And I say tonight, we're only facing one way. Amen. I'm facing toward heaven. Glory, hallelujah. Facing one shore and heading that way. If a man's on a cross, he's crucified, he can't turn around and look behind him. He's facing only ahead. I say tonight, thank God, that we that are saved, we ought to remember that and not try. There's too many church folk trying to go two ways at one time. They're trying to face one way and look another way at the same time. Remember Lot's wife? She was taken out of Sodom and they was leading her. The angels, they were, I believe, about halfway dragging her out of Sodom. And the Bible said that God sent the angels down there and get Lot and his family out. Those that had married, they perished in that fire. And that wicked city was destroyed. But as they took Lot's wife out, and the New Testament says, remember Lot's wife. And what they told her, said, don't look back, because go with us. And they was leading her away from judgment, out of that mess. And she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And salt's used for a preservant. And I believe tonight that's a story given to us that we might remember, be preserved in our memory, that we're not to look back. We're crucified with Christ looking one way. You can't serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one, love the other, either hold them one, despise the other. You cannot serve God in manna. In other words, you're saying you can't serve both at one time. And so we need to be looking one way, going one way, thinking about it. It's a one way. Jesus said, straight's the way, narrow's the gate that leadeth unto heaven, few there be that find it. But wide's the gate and broad's the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. There's a lot of people going the broad way, but very few people going the narrow way and the straight way. And that's the only way, by the way. Amen. Didn't know it was going to come out like that, but it did. It is the only way, by the way. And there's no other way to go to heaven except through that gate. And Jesus Christ is the door. He's the gate. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And he said, I'm crucified with Christ. And so being crucified with Christ, we're only looking in one direction, going one way. And I pray that God would help us to understand that. Bible said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He didn't say it maybe. He said it's not in him. And so if we really get saved, born in the family of God, I am convinced tonight more than ever in my life, there's a whole lot of people says, Lord, Lord, that's not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven because they've never been born again, never been saved. They want to go to heaven, but they want to love the world at the same time. They want to say, I'm saved. They want to say, I know Jesus. They want to act that way. But at the same time, they love the world more than they love him. They love the things of the world. They've never been saved. Then some people have been saved, and they let the world creep in a little bit at a time, and a little here, a little there. And the first thing you know, you're wrapped up in things that you ought not be wrapped up in. And our lives are affected by it, and we're not as effective as we ought to be. May God help us, and we may see that and realize that great truth and do what God said. God said in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so if it's born of God, it overcomes the world. I say, if the night, if you're crucified with Christ, let's just look one way. Let's make sure that we're crucified, die daily, and keep looking up, keep looking straight, and looking for Jesus to come again, and looking for an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, and looking that we don't let the flesh get in the way, and looking away from the world, looking in the Word of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down to the right hand of God. Let's keep looking unto him, amen? And praise God for the reality that we can look unto him. Number two, and as knowing a crucified man, he's looking one direction, but I want you to know that a crucified man is not going back where he came from. He can't. He's crucified. And he can't go back where he came from. I think about that, and I looked in Galatians chapter 5, and look at it with me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 24. A crucified man, what does it mean, the young man said to the older man? He said, I don't know, but three things I know it means. He's looking one direction. Number two, he's not going back where he come from. You say, but preacher, what? Can a saved person sin? Yes, sir. A flesh can get in the way and you can fail God. But I do not believe that a saved person can ever go back where they was before they got saved. They may head that direction, but God will correct them. God will chastise them. God will get their attention. In Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have, that word there is have, crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Did you get that? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. May God help us to realize that we're not going back. You remember the story in the book of Ruth of Orpah and Ruth as they started out with Naomi. That's a picture of those who are, Naomi's a great picture of somebody out of the will of God in the wrong place. But she did not get so far away. She got chastened. Her husband died, her children died. And she was chastened, but she heard that God had visited his people back home. And so when she heard that, she started back home. And she told her daughter-in-law she was going back. And they both said, we're going to go with you. There's a whole lot of people say, I'm going to go with Christ. I'm going to live for God. They start in the right direction. They start out with her, but they reached a certain point. And Naomi, she sensed Orpah didn't mean business. And she wanted to make sure that both of them knew what they were doing. I believe sometimes, now salvation is by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. It does mean that we just believe on him. He paid it all. That song says, he paid it all to him all. That's true, that's right. But when we get saved, we really get born in the family of God. We understand the fact that we die to self and get alive unto God, and that our lives are not our own. We're bought with a price, and we want to glorify him and magnify him. And so they started out, but she said to him to go back. And Orpah, she kissed her mother-in-law and went back to her people. But Ruth said, I'm not leaving you. I'm not going back. I'm going with you all the way. Now, Ruth had never been there. Ruth didn't know the way. She didn't know what kind of people she was really going to face, except she knew her mother-in-law, knew the God that was back there, and she'd heard with her mother-in-law God had visited his people, and she'd heard enough about his people. I believe Naomi had said about Bethlehem of Judea enough that there's something burned in the heart of Ruth and said, I'm going to go back to that place where you're going. I'm going to go with you all the way. And she did. I say hallelujah. If you ever get right with God, ever get born in the family of God, you are crucified with Christ, you'll not go back where you came from. You can't. Hey, how in the world would you want to go back and have the sorrow and the weight of sin and the death penalty upon you when you can live for God and have joy in your heart? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And the Lamb for you, welcome. Amen. And I like it even when I'm preaching. It's good. It's just good to know that you've been changed. Yeah, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Hold, all things become new. Now, I'm trying to say we have those two natures. We are crucified with Christ, imputed that death penalty. And then there's a practical part of it. We die daily. And so we need to remember to die daily. You remember in 2 Timothy, I believe chapter 4 and verse 10, I believe it is, but Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We use him a lot of times as somebody knew God and backslid on God. I'm not too sure about that. And I guess you could, it's kind of like the prodigal son. You can use an application either way with it. But he said, having loved this present world, over 1 John 2:15, he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Presents a problem, doesn't it? Presents a thought to us that we need to understand. I believe there's a real change takes place in a man's heart when he gets saved. Preacher, are you preaching perfection? I am too. I'm like Brother Billy Mitchell said, I'm preaching perfection, just don't live a perfect life in this flesh, in the flesh. But in Christ Jesus, as he says, it's perfect. But in our flesh, we fail God. Amen. Good preaching. Number three, a crucified man only looking one way, not going back where he came from, but he's not under his own control anymore. He doesn't control himself. Amen. I say amen, amen to that. Have you ever seen a dead man say, I want to go to Walmart? Have you ever seen a dead person body say, I want to do this, or I want to go down that place, or a dead person not under his own control? He is controlled by another. Somebody is leading that person somewhere. Or carrying that person. They're taking that person. Somebody's making plans. Somebody else is telling them what they're going. Is that not right? A person that's crucified with Christ, he's under a new control. And tonight, if I drop over right here, and I may, and may not, but if I do, and the life-saving crew come picks me up, and they say he's dead, he's gone, and they take me down to the morgue, and they pronounce me gone. And y'all help Juanita. She'll need some help. And she's a grinning at me. Now, that bothers me. I'm talking about dying. She's a grinning. But anyway, and she'll say what morgue that she wants to pick my body up. She'll make that decision. And then what suit they're going to put on me, or she'll make that decision. And you know, a dead person not worried about things. They're not worried about where they're going to go, or they're not worried about any of that. I mean, and as far as that body's concerned, none of that bothers anymore. What difference does it make? How are you going to hurt somebody that's dead? How are you going to hurt them? They're already dead. You can't hurt a dead person. You can slap him, punch him, but you can't hurt a dead person. How are you going to hurt them? You can't. That's the way we ought to be. Crucified with Christ means we're under new control. We're not our own. We're bought with a price, belong to him. God's property, God's piece of clay that God's doing what he wants to do with, as we'll let him mold us and make us. Let's bow our heads. This thing about the flesh and the spirit, we need just to yield to the will of God, to let the Spirit of God have his way in our hearts, our lives. Let God lead us and guide us in all things. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight, that we'll yield our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Lord, help us realize the fact that in Christ we did die, and we are dead in Christ, and that the death penalty has been paid, and now we are to live unto righteousness, live for the glory of God, live to praise God, live to give him glory. Help us, God, be willing and yielded vessel in the hands of the potter. I pray in Jesus' name, help us to die daily to ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.